Leadership and cultivating a winning culture were the hot topics at the 80th annual ABCA Baseball Convention in Dallas, Texas this past weekend. We took Keep the Line Moving on the road. It's Keep the Line Moving Coaches Week.
We have Jose Cruz Jr. You recognize that name. Big leaguer with Toronto, the Giants, the Dodgers, the Padres, and he was drafted by Seattle. Well, now he's the head baseball coach of Rice University. Outfielder, switch hitter for various teams. 204 career home runs. You always got after it. That's how I would describe you. I enjoyed watching you play. I remember watching you. You know, you came up with the Mariners. When you look back at your career, what is the number one memory that hits your heart?
Man, that's a, believe it or not, I've never been asked that question. I think there's multiple things that happened. I can go bookends here. I think making it to the major leagues was a big deal. I think getting drafted by the Mariners was a big deal. Making it to the major leagues, my wife is from the Northwest, so she's from Olympia, and I was able to, I lived in Olympia for a bit when I was playing for Tacoma Rainiers, so that was all a blessing. And then to be able to go make it in the big leagues and just play a game in the whole kingdom was all a blessing for me. Being next to Ken Griffey Jr. and Jay Buhner and Edgar Martinez and guys like that was unbelievable. So those things like that were things that I really cherish. And then at the end, my last year, I had to make the team in Houston to be able to get my tenure and the whole thing. At the same time, my dad's one of the coaches there. So to be able to be on the same major league field and at the same time with my father was also something that was really special to me. So I would say the bookends of how I started and ended were definitely special for me.
I love hearing these stories. So you're in a conference like this where there's just baseball everywhere, people at different levels, high school. We've talked to high school folks, college. We'll get to your college. And then obviously the pros. When you're around the sport again like this in totality, seeing all the generations, how does that make you feel?
Well, it's definitely this has been a unique experience for me. This is the first time I've come to an event like this. I ended up walking in into the middle of Jay Johnson's speech here at the beginning of the day, and I couldn't believe how many people were sitting in there. I did not realize how big that auditorium was, and so that goes to show how many people are really paying attention, how many people want to get better, how many people are in the business, right? So baseball is really funny. It goes in circles in many ways, so it's definitely something for you to constantly be trying to improve, and at the same time constantly meeting new people, maybe elevating some people, maybe you get elevated in other places. So it's been a and then we haven't even gotten to the technology part of it, the leadership part of it, the mental part of it. There's a lot of dimensions here at this convention, so it's exciting and a little intimidating at the same time.
Does it make you think about your journey, about all those elements that you just brought up, right? Like, who inspired you? Who was your mentor? How did you, when you were unfortunately going through a little bit of a struggle at the plate, or how did you deal with the ups and downs to have such a sustainable career and so much success, almost 1,200 hits and all that?
That chose the hardest route, I want to say, and that's a switch hitter with power is definitely, I think, the hardest route in the major leagues, because it's more than, I mean, just the simple fact that you can handle major league pitching from two sides and understand, have to deal with two personalities at the highest level is definitely something that's unique or different. So I really do look at all the players in that, just grade them as in, are they switch hitter or not switch hitters? Because the whole switch hitter thing is just a whole different animal. I remember I was telling Lance Berkman that my son was trying to switch hit, and Lance was like, oh my God, did you try to talk him out of it? And I was like, yes, I did. But so he continued. He wanted to switch hit. It's like, all right, let's deal with it. But so that part of it is it was definitely tough. So for me, I would call – my dad's not a switch hitter, so I would talk to my dad often, but he's not a switch hitter. He doesn't quite understand my struggles there. So I would end up having conversations with Bobby Bonilla and Tony Fernandez. Those are the two big guys that I leaned on when out during my career, who are still friends. I'm still really close with Bobby and Tony was one of my dear friends. May he rest in peace. I think about him every day. A lot of the things that he taught me, I taught to my kids, and I teach to my team. So he's like an influence for me. I think about that guy every day, man. So those were guys that would really talk me into a good state of mind, understood what it was like, understood my struggles, understood how to get out of it. And they're really, really good communicators. And in a way, there was some simplicity about it. Bobby was very simple about how he went about it. And he removed clutter. Tony was a little more methodical about certain things, but he was also, everything came to being clear-minded and being focused on what you wanted to do and being in position. So those guys, I would say, that answers your question, were the guys that that really helped me throughout my career, really, even till this day.
And you also alluded to your dad, your great mm-hmm. father who played for the Houston Astros.
Yes.
Great
outfielder. He knows me the best. You know, no bigger fan of mine than my father. So,
and he was the consummate professional. The high socks,
yep.
the leg kick,
yep.
left-handed
yep.
hitter, outfielder. Tell us about the conversations you would have with him while you were playing and how much, now that you probably look back on it, appreciated those conversations. Mm-hmm. Is that safe to say, Jose?
Yeah, no, for sure. We still have them. I mean... You want to? I wish we could get a camera and have my father, my uncles. I had two other uncles that made the major leagues as well, and myself have a conversation about baseball and hitting. It would be worthy. I don't know if it would be insightful, but it would be comedy, 100% comedy.
Let's do it.
But it was funny. So we all have an opinion on it. But my dad was a lot of will. Okay. He worked himself into the player that he became. He was athletic, but raw. And then slowly he progressed into a guy that was very refined. I mean, you couldn't have a high leg kick and spray the ball around and get as many hits as he did if you weren't that. But his will, I think, is what took him to the next level and got him to be, you know, to the level of stardom that he was able to get to and really receive all the accolades that he's received for such a long time because of that will, I think, because of that mentality of I'm going to make it and I believe in myself. And that's one of the things that definitely rubs off on you as soon as you end up talking to my father, because it just his level of belief and positivity is so high. It's elite. And it just rubs off, and you kind of do that same thing, and you just, that's what I learned from it. You know, I know where he comes from. I know where I come from. I know the struggles. I know how much you got to grit to get to what you want. And he instilled that in me.
And you know what? It was evident in the way he took the field and ran the bases. Everything he did was exactly what you said. It exemplified grit. You had it too. I mean, your career is tremendous. Mm-hmm. Respectfully, you had more home runs than your dad. So,
and I make sure I let him know that.
That's why those conversations are.
You know
so
what? Weird. He's like, you know what? You ate better than I did. You ate better than I did coming up. Something like that. He'd say something like that.
Sorry, Jose. But you're a different person though. So, and I want to get to what you're doing now. Believe me, and we will. But when you took the field, you were graceful, and you know, how did you take the field? Let me maybe phrase it as a question.
It was an evolution for sure, but I would like to describe myself as, and this is most of the time because I was by no means perfect, but I tried to make sure that I was prepared, I was ready to go. I played at 100 miles an hour. I played 100% all the time, and I'm fairly certain that's why I rarely got hurt. I practiced and played the same way, so I went after it hard. I mean, I was not trying to get a single. I was trying to absolutely destroy the ball every single swing that I took. Probably why I struck out too much. But but I went after it hard. I played defense hard. I was very aware. I was smart. I thought during the game. I was able to function in the chaos of baseball at the high speed of the game. Because people can talk about all they want about baseball slow, but it is not slow. The moment you step on that field, you see how fast it really is.
No
it,
doubt.
Everything moves so fast. So the ability to be able to slow it down, I think that's what ended up helping me stay for as long as I did, because I was able to slow the game down. And again, you learn that, you breathe, you have belief in yourself, you put yourself in position to succeed, and things happen. So that's kind of how I went about it.
In 2003, you won your only gold glove with the San Francisco Giants, and your 1 year with the Giants under Felipe Alou. Mm-hmm. So let's go into managing and leading now and get
I thought I could have had another one.
Which year?
2000.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I played all 162 games that year, and I played really good D. So I thought I was worthy of consideration. And I might have been. I don't even know if I got votes or not. But I know that year, I thought that year was really good for me in Toronto.
Okay.
So, but I got one.
Oh, you did get one. And you that one. Club won over 100 games.
Yeah, we were close. We were close. There. We can hit, man. We set a record. I think we had the first time ever we had four players with 20 homers at the break, 20 or more homers at the break. And then I think the Angels did it after that, and then I lost track. Probably happened again. But
what was it like playing for Felipe?
Felipe was great, man. He was one of the most, I'd say, game-aware and prepared guys that I had as a manager. I mean, maybe the best, really. He would already be talking about two innings from now, talking about what pitches are coming and how they're going to pitch this whole thing. I mean, he was really good. He was really good. Nice communicator. I got along with him great.
Now, what are you doing now? I know you're in coming up on, what is it, your fourth year with Rice?
This is my third year.
Third year with Rice. Talk to us.
This is my third year at Rice. I was with the Tigers. I was with A.J. Hinch and that staff in 2021, and then I ended up being hired as a head coach for the Rice Owls in summer of 21. And it's just been, we've been trying to put it together. Rice Baseball was on a little bit of a slide. It's taking me 3 years to create the environment that I want, that I currently have, that is what I want. And it's a very fertile environment for development. And we have it. So it's like now it's time to get it on the field and do something about it, because we have a pretty talented team, very athletic team, and everybody's hungry to make it the best year we've had in 3 years.
Jose, before hitting record, you and I were talking about leadership, and you think, like, the average fan, and I don't mean to generalize, they think, okay, talent, you got a great third baseman, you got a power hitting right fielder, you got an ace on the mound, you got two lefties in the bullpen. I'm generalizing. What I'm saying to you is, you said culture and getting it the way that the feel of the Owls when they take the diamond every day or in the clubhouse, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Describe that. What are you talking about specifically? Because there's young coaches out there in this earshot of us right now that would love to know that.
I inherited some guys that were used to losing, and they didn't understand how good they could be, and it was just this whole complacency and finger-pointing thing going on. And, you know, ultimately, that's not what we're talking about. Right now, there's an accountability to what you're doing or not doing. We're trying to make sure that what our goals are match our effort. So we've got to make sure that those things are in line. At the same time, it's now 2 years, we've been doing a lot of mental training, and everything starts with self-discipline, right? So if you don't have any self-discipline, then what are we even talking about? So we have to get over through that hurdle, and we got to get to the point of intention with everything that you do and have this particular enthusiasm for the game or this want to for the game. I mean, I really don't want a guy that where I have to coach want to, right? I don't think we're at the level where we need to coach want to, that we need to coach effort, that we need to coach energy. I think there's already this standard that we should already be there. There should be a little bit of energy. There should be pride already. There should be some sort of, taking pride in what you do, putting this uniform on, what it means to people that came before you, what it means to people that are going to come after you of wearing this uniform. It's only for a limited time. You're only here for a few years, right? I mean, some are less. And, you have to take this certain amount of pride in what you do when you come out here, right? So then... That's the environment, right? That's the environment that we've done. So we are able to get into the development part of it, because we have to develop. You know, we can't just retool every year. We have to develop. We have to grab a freshman and groom him into being our guy, either a sophomore or maybe a junior, but groom him into the system that we have. And they understand the system of what is expected and what I want and what it's going to take to get on the field. So it's taken 3 years to get to this point.
I would play for you right now. But anyway, that's beside the point. I don't have any more years of eligibility. Let me ask you this. So you, when I talked about Felipe, you were boom, boom, boom. You were able to describe his way of managing very clearly. Now I'm going to, if I may, turn the mirror on yourself. Describe yourself as a manager and your philosophy with teaching these great OWL players.
My philosophy is we are prepared. We have a game plan. There is an intention of what we do. There also is a an adaptability, because we're not just cookie cutter or super tech or anything like that. There isn't an adaptability of and a common sense of what's happening in the game in front of you. At the same time, we're trying to prepare all the guys to be as successful as possible, understand themselves, have an approach, right, have the intention, be ready to play. So as the game moves, then we want to make sure that we create the matchups that we want, whether it's offensively or whether it's pitching. So we want to make sure we create that. At the same time, we're going to position players where they need to be, and we're going to put the guys, give the guys the best chance for them to be successful, right? And then just let the chips fall where they may. You know, sometimes you're going to lose, man, and that's fine. But it's like, I want to make sure that we are in our process. We're focused on what we need to do. We focus on the task at hand, and I'll live with it.
Do you love it?
I love it.
Listen, we wish you all the luck, and I love spending this time with you. Thank you, Jose.
Thanks for having me, man.
Awesome.
Appreciate it.
We roll on with our podcasts from the ABCA 80th Annual Conference. And guess what? It's Ryan Daggs from Show Me Baseball. So, Ryan Daggs, tell me, Show Me Baseball, what is it to the millions of people that are listening right now?
So, to everybody that's listening right now, it's been around since 1958. A lot of history there, old fields. We recently took it under, and now we're building it back up. We just got the Show Me Collegiate League. It's been established, took it over, making it 10 times better.
Show Me means the Show Me State, Missouri,
yes,
right? That's where you're based. What is it in a nutshell? But tell us the core mission.
The core mission of our league is to get our players better, develop them. And it's not just developing them through baseball. That's the reason I love leadership. I think this is would be great to have you kind of get to know our players, help us out with our players. I think it's a great opportunity because the kids need a lot of leadership right now with the transfer portal and all that stuff. They need leadership and need to learn how to be leaders and how to take criticism and all the things in that aspect.
So I accept your offer and I would be glad to do it. But let's talk about, these are college students, athletes that are trying to further themselves in life, not just on the field. So how do you approach them with the distractions of transfer portals and just being a collegiate athlete, which, as you know, is not easy?
No, it is not easy. So we also have work opportunities. All the players that come in, they have the opportunity to work for pay, get internships done for their colleges that they are at or where they're going to be at. And so we can help them in the aspect of getting to talk to families, like getting to know people whenever we bring in tournaments and they're able to work those.
Okay, so I'm a third baseman for a West Coast college. I am interested in becoming part of the Show Me Baseball League. Tell me, what's the process I would go through to become part of it?
So we have a bunch of forms you can fill out, or you can get directly in contact with me. My phone number is posted everywhere with all our social medias. They're all Show Me League is all our social medias, Twitter and Instagram. You'll get directly in contact with me, and at that point we're selling you on the fact that you get to work out through us, you get to stay with us, you get meals through us, and you get a work opportunity. And then on top of all that, you get to play baseball.
During the summer?
Yes, sir.
Let's look at this. The difference between other traditional baseball leagues in the summer and what you do is that you're providing what?
We are providing a place for them to grow in all aspects of life, not just baseball field, the weight room. We want to build them spiritually. We have a team that recently has been with us, and since we've taken it over, they're not going to have a team this year. They're looking to have a team the year after that through FCA. And so building leadership through guys, building a work opportunity for guys. I was an intern 3 years ago for Ballparks of America, and then recently we took over Show Me, and now I got a full-time job through there. And it's just been a great experience for me.
How's it changed your life?
In all aspects. I went to College of the Ozarks in Branson, Missouri, and got to do my internship. And whenever I got to do my internship, it's where I found my wife, recently got married, and able to settle down. And now I'm going to end up living in Missouri. A lot different than Arkansas.
Congratulations in getting married and everything. How were you attracted to the Show Me League, and how were you attracted to their mission?
Through the fact that I coached in the league last year, and I saw things that we could get players better. This is a great opportunity for college athletes. They're getting reps that they might not be getting where they're at right now. They might need to move on from a JUCO. Their NAI might not be the right fit for them. A lot of guys, especially now, places aren't a right fit. And this is a good way for them to go back to enjoying baseball. A lot of it's, you got to do this. This is hardcore. You got to grind it out. The summer's where you have fun. You get to develop, get to know guys. You play with guys from all over the country. I had a Canadian on my team last year and also a kid from Japan. And so it was a great opportunity just to see how they got together.
Ryan Daggs, Show Me Baseball in the Show Me State.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for being on.
Thank you for having me
this
on.
This is awesome. This is a lot of fun. Thank you. And we thank Ryan and Jose very much for being on the show. Keep the Line Moving. Coaches Week continues tomorrow, where we will have Walter Beatty, podcast host and author, on the show, followed by Aaron Pridmore of the Savannah Bananas and host of the Slide Podcast. Keep the Line Moving. Coaches Week rolls on. Every week you hear guests on this podcast talk about some of their biggest leadership challenges. As a leader, you want to make an impact on those you lead and reach your organization's goals while also optimizing your time management. Wherever you are in your leadership journey, we could all use some help. This is what we focus on with our group and individual coaching services. To book a call or get more information, email me directly at chrisg@garganoleadership.com or visit our website at garganoleadership.com. For our podcast and video producer, Jack Radutsky, and our marketing coordinator, Savin Narwal, have a great week, everybody.